This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
This is Rob Randall, and I want to thank you so much for sharing the next few minutes with us here on the Invisible War radio program. The time we spend together today on this program may just well be the most important moments of your life. I want to encourage you. We have a wonderful special guest. He's wonderful to me because he's my son. Bob is with us today, Bob Randall, and I want to encourage you, if you've not heard his testimony, would you go online, theinvisiblewar.org. It's the most requested and most downloaded program that we have had on radio. I want to encourage you, catch up. If you've not heard his testimony, you'll be wonderfully blessed. Just a few weeks ago, in our last Invisible War conference, I asked Bob to come and share under the title, How to Conquer the Spirit of Fear. It was such a blessing that I've asked him to come today to share it with all of us as well. Our next Invisible War conference is coming up May 26 at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. We'll be talking more about that. Take a pad and a pen. Get ready. We'll give you the details at the end of the program today. But it's May 26, save the date, at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. It is with great, great joy that I welcome my son, our middle child. We have three, and Bob, we're so glad you're here today to share your heart concerning your journey and how the Lord has taught you how to conquer the spirit of fear.
Well, Dad, I appreciate you letting me share my heart on that. I just want to publicly say I bless my dad. I love him. I'm so proud of him and his ministry and the ministry that the Lord has for him. And so I've been asked to speak on a spirit of fear. And as we move into that, the first thing that I really want to make sure that we do is identify a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, and I'll read that. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." And so what we need to do is identify that by spirit, we actually mean spirit. It's not an idea. I know kind of in the Oprah culture, if you will, that we have a lot of feeling. And what does this feel like? This is just kind of an idea or a feeling or an emotion. And by spirit of fear, we don't mean any of those things. We actually mean spirit. And by spirit, we mean demon. So we need to identify that we're actually dealing with a demon. And a prayer that the Lord has led me to pray is, as we identify that we're actually dealing with a demon, a spirit, the prayer is, Lord, would you remove a spirit of fear or fear of man, fear of failure, or any demon that would take on the name and or function of fear. So we identify that's the first thing we have to do is recognize that we're not dealing with an emotion. We're not dealing with a feeling. We're actually dealing with a spirit. And by spirit, we do mean demon. So once we've identified it, we understand that, hey, we're actually dealing with a demon. That moves us into now what? So how do we deal with this spirit of fear? And so we find the root. We find out the open door. We ask for the rhema word of God. We ask for revelation. We ask for words of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, would you show us through revelation, through your rhema word, would you show us the open door of where fear has come from? I was praying with somebody not long ago, and they as a little boy, they were on the edge of a swimming pool, and their dad reached out and missed them. They jumped into the swimming pool and missed them, and they went into the water. Of course, they were fine. But that began to open the door, and so we went back in the prayer time, and the Lord revealed that that was an open door. A demon came in and said, your dad will never catch you. He will not protect you. And if you cannot trust your earthly father, you certainly cannot trust any type of heavenly father. And so we recognized that. We found that as a root, an open door, and the Lord was gracious to heal. And this guy has been set free from a demon, a spirit of fear. He's been delivered. So, Lord, we thank you for that. So we recognize, we ask the Lord to identify a root, an open door, a reason, any ground that's been given over to the enemy through anything that's been done to us or anything that we've done to anyone else to open ourselves up to a spirit of fear. And once we recognize that and find that root, then we can address it. The second point that we can look at is facing the fear. And I would encourage y'all to ask the question, what are you afraid of? In Job 3:25, it says right here, for the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. And then it goes on, Job 4:14, fear came upon me, and I was trembling, which made all my bones shake. And so we face the fear. We recognize, we identify, what are we afraid of? Job says that the very thing that he feared the most came upon him. And so we turn our focus away from the Lord, and it becomes, our focus gets on the fear, and then all of a sudden we're consumed by the fear. Our focus is on the fear. Our focus is taken off Yahweh God, the one who can set us free from the fear in the first place. And that fear begins to overtake us. It begins to overcome us. And so let's face that fear. I want to tell you a story, a personal testimony for myself. Towards the end of my third year in college, I went to Ouachita Baptist University in Arkansas, and I developed a drug addiction towards the end of my third year, and I had to leave early. And so there were a lot of loose ends that needed to be tied up, and I actually owed the school money for my tuition. And so that began to, year after year after year after year, it began to be something that consumed me. The fear consumed me, and it became what I would say the proverbial monster in the closet, where it became bigger than life. It became more than what it was. And so several months ago, the Lord led me on a journey to get back in contact with the university. So I called, and the Lord led me right to this sweet little lady, and she answers on the phone in her Arkansas accent, real thick accent. She says, hey, honey, how can I help you? And I said, well, I don't know. Hopefully you can. And she actually said, I hope I can too. So I said, I owe the university some money to get my transcripts released, and I would like to know how to do that. So she asked me my name, walked me through the process. And she said, you know, and she pulled up my file. She says, we don't usually hear from people after this amount of time. I said, I can understand that. I said, but I want to have this cleaned up. I want to pay this bill, and I want to move forward with my life. And so as I faced that fear, it began to be very apparent to me that by giving this ground over, not facing this fear, it gave so much ground over to the enemy for this to become a huge monster, a huge thing in my life. And as soon as those doors were open, as soon as I was able to look and stare down and address and face that fear, it became apparent that it really, all in all, was not that big of a deal. And the Lord was so gracious to use a sweet little lady in Arkansas, and very strategic in having her be the one that I communicated with. So I'm grateful for that. So we've got to face the fear. So we recognize it is a demon. We cast it out. We find the root. It has to be cast out. Then we face that fear. We face what are the things that we've been afraid of. And I just want to encourage us with no condemnation, but a holy charge to try to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have us not avoid the fear. And we can avoid it through substance abuse, the drugs or the alcohol, just really kind of numbing our mind, medicating the fear of really moving forward in our life. And it just kind of stops us in our tracks. Procrastination is another thing, just really putting it off. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Not really facing that fear and really staying busy, just being distracted, keeping ourselves busy, even maybe good things, cleaning around the house, doing different types of things, but staying busy. And we really keep ourselves just really overwhelmed with other things where we don't have to focus on the fear. So once we've identified it, once we've faced it, once we've actually cast this demon out of fear, then what do? How do we stay free from fear? And so I would ask us if we could look through the eyes of Jesus. And Lord, as I just speak this out, I just pray over the people who are listening right now. Lord, I just ask that you would give them the eyes of Jesus to look at fear through his eyes. How does Jesus see fear? And Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And Satan came to him and tried to tempt Jesus. And Jesus overcame. He was beat down. He was tired. He was hungry. And he overcame. Jesus was not afraid. When he hung on the cross, he was not afraid. He's hanging up there. He's hanging on the cross. And he faced the fear. He faced the death. So how does Jesus see fear? Lord, would you give us the eyes? Would you give us your eyes? We ask for the eyes of Jesus that we would be able to see fear through your eyes. How do you see fear? Lord, when we get that supernatural revelation of how you see fear, Lord, I just believe, I believe in my spirit that we will be able to move forward. Lord, you're not afraid. You're not afraid. So we ask for the eyes of Jesus. The eyes of Jesus. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Let me say that again. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And so it says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What is the perfect love? The example of perfect love, Jesus hanging on the cross. There is no example that we've ever seen of more perfect, a more whole love, of laying his life down. And so he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Jesus, through what he's done for us on the cross, through his shed blood, he sees, looking back to the crucifixion, he's alive. He has been resurrected from the dead. He looks back at the crucifixion and sees that he has overcome death. He has overcome the fear. And so that perfect love, that love that he has given to us on the cross, we're able to look. And so I just want to say and read that again, that there is no fear in love, but his perfect love, what he's done for us, it casts out all fear. Another thing that really it's helped me so much, and I just want to really highlight that we're not alone. We're not walking through this alone, that we have the great cloud of witnesses, the saints that have gone before who are interceding on our behalf. But we have the angels of the Lord. That's something that has just been so encouraging to me. And so we have the angels of the Lord that are warring for us and with us. And so we don't worship the angels, but we ask for their help. We unashamed ask for their help. Psalms 91:11. It says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And this is what I love in verse 13. And this is Psalms 91, verse 13. It goes on to say, it says, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. And therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And so we ask for the help of the angels. I feel like we pull back sometimes. We're kind of afraid to do that. And again, we don't worship the angels, so that's not what I'm saying, but we ask for their help. We release the angels of the Lord into the atmosphere that the supernatural realm would affect the natural realm. And we ask for the angels' help. We're not alone. They're here to help us. They're here for us. And we just ask for their help. Also, Deuteronomy 3:22 says, you must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. I'm going to read that again. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. We release the angels to help us and war for us and with us. But Yahweh God himself, the Lord God himself fights for us. We are not alone. We are not alone in this journey. We are not alone with the fears that we have. The Lord God himself is fighting for us and with us. He is the Almighty. He is the Creator. We worship him in spirit and in truth. These things are true. He is also our Father. Scripture says, Abba. The word translates into the English language, Daddy. Growing up, I would hear people say daddy this and daddy that, and it kind of offended a religious spirit in me. Looking back, I'm glad that that was offended, but I didn't understand why people would call the Almighty, the creator of the universe, daddy. It didn't seem right to me. And as I've gotten older, the more that he has revealed his intimate love for me, he is not just the Almighty creator just sitting up on his throne. Of course, that's true, but he's our daddy. He's Papa. We can approach his throne. We can sit in his lap. And Lord, I just pray that over the ones who are listening to this message right now, that they would crawl up in Papa's lap. Lord, it's your word. It's your scripture. You are the Almighty. You are the Creator. We do worship you, but you're also our daddy. You're our Papa. Lord, we have access to your throne. We can sit on your lap. And when we're sitting on his lap, fear is not welcome. When we're sitting on his lap, that demon, that spirit of fear is not welcome. It has to go. And so just that access to his throne room, that access, I speak that over us now, that he is the Almighty. He is the Almighty, but he's also our Father. He's our daddy. He's Papa. He's our daddy. And we can sit on his lap. We can receive that Father's love. No matter what your earthly father has done or not done, whether he's been there or not been there, whatever the case is, that God is the father to the fatherless. And when we're in the arms of the Father, when we're in the arms of the Father, we're not afraid. We're not afraid. I want to encourage us to make declarations out loud. One of the greatest declarations that we can make is the example of the 23rd Psalm. We know it well. But I just want to read it fresh and brand new. I just want to read this. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, and this is what I love, and this is why I wanted to really press in and read this. Verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, making this declaration, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, verse 4 says, I will fear no evil. Make a declaration out loud. It's good that we journal. It's good that we go into the quiet place with our Lord Jesus. But I just encourage us in our homes, in our cars, when we're headed to work, whatever the case may be, to make declarations out loud over our families, over ourselves, over our lives, over our finances, over every aspect. That I will fear no evil. I just encourage us to make an out loud verbal declaration that I will fear no evil. He's with us. He's with us. He's fighting for us. So now that we've dealt with the spirit of fear, we've cast it out. It's gone. Then what do we do? And so I just want to encourage us. It says Ephesians 5:18-21. It says, do not be drunk with wine, and which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So once that spirit of fear is gone, we want to replace it with the Holy Spirit. And so that void is gone. Even that familiarity with that fear, it may have been there since childhood. It's gone. It's been cast out. And then we want to replace it. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would do that even right now. Just fill us up with your Spirit. Lord, where that fear was once there, it's now gone. Lord, would you replace it with your presence, with your Spirit, with your Holy Spirit?
Well, Bob, we are more than grateful for the privilege that you've given us to hear your story again. I am very, very grateful that you are my son. And I'm most grateful for the faithfulness of our Lord. There's no way in just a few words to express how this message has been honed through the struggle of many, many years. And it comes forth with the heart, and you've heard Bob's heart, and it is our desire that you would be set free today. We all struggle with fear at some level or another. And whenever you deal with the supernatural things of God, particularly the word demon itself brings forth the spirit of fear. And fear will say, you better not go there. And fear has the ability to paralyze us in our walk with Christ. So I'm deeply, deeply grateful, son, that you have come today to share your story. And I thank God for you and for this wonderful word, once again, that has come through many years of crucible, of struggle. Any word of life comes that way. It comes through the battle. Any word of victory always comes through the battle. And so we thank God for the battle. And son, again, thank you for coming and sharing your story with us.
Dad, thank you for allowing me to come and share my heart, not only what he's done recently in my heart, but over the years. And I'm humbled that you would allow me to come on your program and just share with your listeners as well. So thanks, Dad. I love you.
I would like for you to meet Bob and his precious wife, Amy. Now, they're scheduled to have their firstborn son about the time of our next conference. And this precious child is already in the chute, ready to come. He's excited and kicking and ready to see Mom and Dad and Granddad and Nana. We're excited to see and bless him. But he's due a couple of days before the conference. Is that right? Around that same time?
That is correct.
And so I hope that you can meet Bob at our next conference. That's our schedule. So as I shared with you early in the program, make note, that's May 26, our next Invisible War Conference. We've entitled the conference Spiritual Warfare and the End Times. What an awesome subject matter. You'll want to be a part of this conference. This is a different type of conference than you are likely to be offered this year. It'll be at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas, 2000 East Spring Creek Parkway, right off just east of 75, Highway 75. That's 2000 East Spring Creek Parkway. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, to register. Click on the conference registration prompts, and you'll find all the information there. We look forward to meeting you and to praying with you. If you know of folks that need to be set free, bring them with you. Fill up your cars. Come. Let's have a wonderful time around the things of heaven. That's the Invisible War Conference, May 26th. That's Saturday, all day Saturday, May 26th, at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. So let me encourage you, go online, register today. Space is limited, so we need to know that you're coming. Register today. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Theinvisiblewar.org. Register and do it today. Well, we have spent time before the throne of God today, and what a joy it is to hear a message from the heart of our Heavenly Father. I want to pray with you now. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're not sure that the Heavenly Father is your Father. You're not sure that you have become part of the family of God. Would you pray this prayer with me? Would you do it right now? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you loved me because you died for me. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Now, if you've prayed with me today, let me know it. Theinvisiblewar.org. Email me Call us toll-free 1-877-808-8886. Call me toll-free 1-877-808-8886 or email me through the website theinvisiblewar.org. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for being a part of this wonderful ministry of healing and deliverance. We look forward next time when we will gather again right here on The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.